Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we need to play some games. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
I am playing a game.
There it is.
Yeah, haven't had a lot of time to play games, especially the past week, being Holy Week and work at a church as one of my jobs, and
right.
That is pretty all consuming that week before Easter. And so, I've been jonesing a little bit, so I get to play a game while we're doing a show to get that out of my system. So, good times.
I played a lot last week, not so much this week. I had company in town and various things going on. So, yeah, I have not gotten to play much either. But what I have gotten done is kept up with you playing the game that you're currently playing.
Yes.
And I got to say, it's still fabulous.
It is. It's really good. We'll talk about it more here in a little bit. But it's just great. It's so fun, and it makes me miss it when I'm not playing it. And so this week, when I haven't had a chance to play it, I've been really missing it. And that's what, like, there are games that I've played that I really enjoyed, but, like, I can go, like, a month or two without touching them, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I need to go and pick that back up. And then there are those games that if you go like 2 days without playing, you're like, man, I really miss that. And Final Fantasy is squarely in that category for me. It's something that I'm like, oh, I want to get back to it. As soon as I picked it up like 10 minutes ago, I'm like, oh yeah, this is fantastic. I'm so glad to be playing this again.
It makes us both very happy.
Yes.
I can't wait till you are here. You'll be here at some point. I can see you with the controller in your hand and see how stuff actually works, because that's what I'm missing out of this. The video is great, but I'm like, okay, he is getting to be epic at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I don't know how the button presses work. I don't know, like, the combat is getting really interesting. Because you're starting to get to the point where you can, like, mow over people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm digging that.
Yes, I am too. It's fantastic. So, we'll talk about that more momentarily. We do have a handful of other things on the show. Lots of rumors this week. So, it'll be interesting to see how much of this. We get through rumors about Microsoft and Xbox. Rumors about the PlayStation 5 Pro Edition and some other things Sony may be working on. And so we'll get into all of that, maybe a couple other things, including a new big Stardew Valley update, which is still a thing, and set a record for peak concurrent players on Steam. Stardew Valley set a record for peak concurrent players on Steam in 2024, which is just amazing. So people still very into Stardew Valley, which I haven't touched in quite a while. It's one of those games that I could go a long time without playing, but I'll get back into it. And this is probably going to get me back into it.
There's so much crap to play.
We can't get close to all of it.
You have played Stardew Valley for years. I've played Stardew Valley a little bit. And I'm thinking if we downloaded it and and started playing it again, it would be vastly different than the last time we played it.
For sure. Yeah, apparently a lot of new in-game stuff, which people are really enjoying, because obviously if you've played Stardew Valley for a while, you've kind of got to where stuff is. Though it can be a fairly perpetual game, but adding some more content in the in-game. Pretty big deal. So anyway, go by the show notes, gamingonsensor.com, because we're surely not going to get through it all, as we never do, to see what we missed over there. While you're over there, big thanks to the Patreon supporters. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. As always, thank you all for your support. You help us pay for games so we can play Final Fantasy and then talk to you about it. You also help us pay for all the costs of hosting this show, and we appreciate that a huge amount. So if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gamingonsensored.com and click that Become a Patron link over there.
Before we get this thing started, I have to mention, if you are watching the video on Patreon, you will notice two things. Tommy just yawned. Which is because man's not getting much sleep at this point.
No.
Also, he has a swanky new haircut.
Yeah.
I just want to mention, you're looking professional, sir.
Right? Yeah, I got my quasi-annual haircut last week. And so, short trim for at least a little bit. I tell myself every time I do it, I'm going to keep it this way because I kind of like how I look right now. And then I just get busy with life and it grows out and gets all mountain man looking again. But I'm going to try this time. Keep it biannual haircut instead of once a year haircut. So, you know.
You're looking sharp, sir. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. And definitely lack of sleep. I would be drinking coffee, but I already finished it. Here's my empty coffee mug. So my 20 ounces of coffee this morning are already done, and I'm still yawning. Little baby boy is exhausting us all. But it's okay.
Which, by the way, you can stop me if you need to stop me, but I think it's okay to say that dude is official at this point.
Yeah, dude is official. We got through the last bit of the adoption process, the finalization. So little boy is Jesse. We can say his name in public spaces now. And so we've got Jesse is little boy and Genevieve's little girl. And that is our family because we are done. No more kids over here. And so we are good. All is good. He's 6 months old at this point and happy and active and waking up many, many more times in the night than we would like. He can sleep through the night until he gets a cold, which it feels like he gets a cold about every other week. So right now he's just got all the congested stuff. So he wakes up every 2 or 3 hours, and that's a pain. And past Holy Week and unsleeping baby, I am hoping to catch up on some rest and some gaming this week.
Well, right now you're thinking what have we done?
Right.
But you will survive. It will be fine.
We will make it through, and it's a good thing. So, all that said, we also get to play some games, and that's a good thing too. So, Final Fantasy. I'm trying to think of what has that. I don't know that we've done anything real new, just because I haven't been able to play it a lot. It's been 2 weeks since we did the show, but yeah.
Can I just say that you got a, right after I said it, you got a black chocobo.
Yes.
It's very interesting.
They could climb walls.
On the last show, which is bizarre, by the way. It's a little weird. Like, it's nuts to watch. So, we said last show that this game is just, it's odd.
It is odd.
It just is. It's odd. It's very Japanese. It's just, there's no other word for it. It's just odd.
Yeah.
And I'm thoroughly enjoying the oddity.
I am too. It's kind of refreshing because the last maybe big game we played was Zelda, at least something on this scale. And Zelda's odd too. Like, it is that kind of Japanese video game sensibility that it shares kind of DNA between Final Fantasy and Zelda in a lot of ways, and fittingly so, like two franchises that date back to us playing video games as early as we started playing video games. But they've always been quirky. And there's something that's both nostalgic about that quirkiness, because they are games that we played when we were young, but also still fun. Just fun to have a weird, quirky game every once in a while. Like, we've also played a lot of really serious games and some games that take themselves too seriously. This is not one of them. It is just a fun, quirky game in all the kind of right ways. And sometimes a little awkwardly, there's things in the game that I'm like, that's a little more cringy than I even enjoy. And I enjoy some cringe, but still, it's pretty great.
Can we just talk about the sexual innuendo that exists
so
in
much.
This game? Like,
it's so awkward.
Like, it really is.
And I'm a grown man. I don't have any issues with a little something something here or there in my video games. It's just so cringy is the thing. And I mean, the nature of any kind of like romantic situations in a video game lend themselves to being somewhat cringy, but Final Fantasy just like leans all the way into the campy, cheesy factor, the cringiness of it. And again, sometimes even a little bit too much cringe for my taste.
Well, I have to admit, you're not the only one that is dealing with some cringe, because there was a Cyberpunk update recently, and it's kind of one of those things at this point that when they update, you look to see what they added. And one of the things that they added in the latest patch was a new icon on the map. And I'm like, what's this? and you go over the little icon and it says Joy Toy. And if you play Cyberpunk, you know what a Joy Toy is.
Yep.
Up to this point, you have not had the ability to go find one. But being who I am, I told myself that it was for the research purposes of the show, and I went to Japantown. And got myself not one, but two Joy Toys.
Wow.
Because I decided to try them both. and I got to say, it's real interesting. and he's laughing at me. I would really like to go in depth, but I also know that there's younger people who are probably listening to the show.
Right. We only take the uncensored part of this show so far.
Right. So, yeah, I've been doing some of that myself, and I have no words. It's very odd. While I was playing around with that, all I could hear was like somebody like Jim Rome talking about some guy in his basement. I'm like, yeah, okay, I might be that guy.
Yep.
And then the brain goes, But it's show research.
That's right.
I'm like, yeah, it's show research.
You got to know what's there. It is right. Just cringy. So. I mean, it's all, you know, like hot coffee with Grand Theft Auto. Like, it's just always been so, like, where do you find that line of, like, what's entertaining, what's purposeful and adds to narrative? Because, you know, like, love and sex and that, like, it's part of life. Right. Like, that is part of narrative that we need to explore in video games. It's not that it doesn't have a place, obviously. But what is the place? And CD Projekt Red in particular, obviously Cyberpunk and The Witcher series very much the same way, likes to like play around that line and land on the wrong side of it often, of what's like narratively important and what's like just gratuitous. They lead into the gratuitous oftentimes.
Can I say this, though, considering the fact that there is an option in the settings to have a nudity sensor or not, they don't go nearly as far as I thought they would.
Yeah.
Like I haven't really seen anything that I was like, okay, if I click this, here's what it would cut. So I gotta be honest, I'm kind of wondering why it's there.
Yeah.
Unless it totally just cuts those scenes.
Have you? Okay, so this is going to be. I was going to ask you a question, and then I realized you're playing a female V, and so your experience is different.
That's why I tried both.
Fair enough. Right. I was going to ask because you had texted me about doing Pan Am missions. Pan Am's great. Fantastic part. I was going to ask you if you had encountered the Pan Am romance scene, but I don't think female V gets the Pan Am romance scene.
Not. The funny thing about that is she definitely asked, and Pan Am was like, yeah, no.
But I think female V gets a romance scene with Judy, I believe.
Yeah. Or what's his face?
The
Winter?
Yeah. Is that his name? Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
It doesn't seem right, but yeah, he is one of two or three male options, I think.
Yeah.
And it really is interesting playing a female V because I still believe that the game was written for a female V. I just the dialogue and like I can't imagine a dude having another dude in his head. it would just be weird.
Yeah. On that, I'm really curious to how different the dialogue is with female V and male V specifically with dealing with Johnny. Because I play a male V and I've never gotten that since. It's never felt awkward to me of Johnny being in his head. Like it's like an alter ego kind of thing. Like it totally works. It totally makes sense. I had a thought of it from the standpoint of female V and how it's at that point not like an alter ego, but as a kind of a competing persona thing.
Yeah. He's another half.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, so I'm curious to how much different there is or how much it just translates differently based off of the gender, what you choose. So anyway, that's fascinating. I'm just saying, considering
it really is interesting. And I can't really see playing the game as a male V. To me, it's just written for a female. That said, this is the first game I've ever played where I am running it as a female, other than like Tomb Raider or
sure,
you know, some. But I mean, this is really the first game that I've done that, and it feels like it's supposed to be that way,
right?
So I'm very interested in that.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. Again, because I haven't played it as female V, I can't speak to it as much. It seems like such a challenging thing to do to try to make a game that works both ways. And I think about Mass Effect doing it and how a lot of people really like thought female Shepard was great. I've always played as male Shepard. I'm trying to think if I've ever chosen to play a female character in a game where you have the option. Obviously,
like
played
I said,
female
this is
characters
my
in.
First time.
I don't think I've ever done it. Like, just thinking back on it, I just hadn't ever put that thought into it. But that's an interesting concept. I need to do it sometime. I love female-driven games. Horizon's fantastic. You don't have a choice. You know, like when they make me play as a female character, I'm like, oh, this is great. Sometime I need to choose to do that. And so, yeah, I don't know what game that will be that I choose to do that, but I need to choose to do that sometime.
So can we just say? Because of where we grew up, despite our being adults and being in different situations and being generally open-minded people, gender bending by itself feels a tad awkward for both of us.
Yes.
I think like we are very. Both of us are very secure in who we are, and it's a very awkward kind of a situation.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting thing to bring up because I've changed in kind of my thinking behind that, like intellectually, especially because like when we were young, like when you had a chance to play as a female character, or there was a female driven game like Tomb Raider. I think that's going to be the one that we both connect to immediately, playing Tomb Raider. When we were younger, there was a reason, but that certain people,
wasn't a good reason,
right? That like I could think of some of my friends who enjoyed Tomb Raider and then would choose to play female characters in games where you had the choice going forward. And that reason was boobs. You know, like that was it. That was the like rationale behind playing the female character. And that, to me, hasn't ever been a driving thing. And
agreed.
I like boobs agreed. Just fine. Like, yeah. That's not a problem. But as far as a game goes, you know, like, this is a statement I didn't plan on saying today, but you know, I just putting that out there. But as far as playing a game goes, is it ever been like something that I have found a lot of interest in, right? Like it just hasn't been the appealing thing to me. Again, for me, it's cringy in that way. And there's intellectually, again, me going, I enjoy this narrative arc with something like Horizon and playing that game where you're playing as a female character throughout and it's great and I love it and everything else. And then faced with a choice to either play as a male or female character, my first, again, primal kind of gut instinct that's terrible, but is I don't want to play as a female character because I'm not the boobs guy. You know, like that's right. Just what it always goes back to. And I really need to get over that and choose to play a female character in one of these games that you have a great narrative journey as a female character as well. And so. Just putting that out there. That was not a discussion point I was anticipating us getting into, well, but it's fascinating. It's an interesting topic.
It's fascinating because there are places in Cyberpunk that I feel like when I did the character creation and when I went through the settings and saw the nudity sensor, which I turned off.
Sure.
Okay, this is gonna be super graphic.
Yeah.
And it's really not. I mean, there's lots of places. I mean, I've told you and you're going to make fun of me. But like, I take V home every night, make her sleep, get up, take a shower. Like, you could do, you know, a lot of stuff with that. And they chose not to. And I'm totally okay with that.
Right.
Like, It was not what they did not do what I expected them to do in that arena, knowing them as well as we know them. In that they're not afraid.
Right.
To, you know, push it, as you said.
Yeah. There is still just so much sexuality all throughout the game, like the advertisements in all over Night
yes,
City and that kind of everywhere. Stuff. Like enough still that like if the sexy sidekick is in the room while I'm playing, I'm like, oh, this feels awkward, yeah. You know. But it's not like just graphic nudity throughout, for sure. Again, it's CD Projekt Red who skirts that line and can oftentimes find the balance there and sometimes does not find the balance there and it gets gratuitous. But is it constantly gratuitous, to be fair?
I think I said this when I started playing, but the ads, and they did this on purpose, the ads are literally everywhere.
Yes.
Like, if you walk into an apartment or a warehouse or any kind of building, if there's a screen, it's on and there's an ad running.
Yes.
And I mean, like, I think I told you that it is almost overwhelming.
Yes.
Because they're like, we have any place there's a screen, we're going to put it in your face. And they did that on purpose because they're trying to point out this is the reality that V lives in or whatever. But I'm like, dude, I've seen that ad 50 times. Can I have another one, please?
Yeah.
It's a, like I said, it's a very It's a very strange place to be. I gotta be honest.
Yeah, strange but amazing. I did fire it up for just a minute this morning because I was sitting at my desktop, which I also haven't had a whole lot of time to do. And so thanks, Duff, for that. I'm going to play some more games on it, I promise. But I say, I just fired up Steam. I was like, okay, I just need to open a game because I'd been jonesing and my PlayStation was in the other room at that point. And so I was like, Cyberpunk, I'll open up Cyberpunk. And it's just been so long since I played it with all the new updates and that kind of stuff. They've reset all of my points and all that. So I got to go respec and all that kind of stuff. So I'm in the process of doing that right now, but just firing it up and just it's experiencing so the world for like 10 minutes this morning. I was like, oh yeah, Night City is so freaking cool. Like, it's so overwhelming, but it's so freaking... I just, like, literally, again, we've been playing Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy looks great. We had complaints at the beginning. Most of those complaints have been satiated for me at this point. Like, once you get into the open world, the environment is much prettier and all that kind of stuff that we complained about early on. But still, there's just nothing visually that is as rapturous as Cyberpunk is right now, as Night City is.
Ooh, rapturous.
Did you like that? It's a game that came out 4 years ago now, and literally, like, I opened it up and went, oh, you know, like, this is so good. It's just on a different level still. It's just so ridiculously pretty.
We're not going to get to any show notes at all. I'm sorry. Because what you just said, I'm going to guess that the last time you seriously put time into Cyberpunk was a while ago. And I'm going to tell you, because of all of the updates, it's vastly different because I looked. I thought to myself, it can't be that much different. I know they've done a ton of updates. I know they've done a ton of hot fixes, but it can't be that much different. They essentially rebuilt the thing from the ground up.
Yeah.
Like
the 2. Whatever patch massively changed that game.
And like in this last patch, they put stuff in there that wasn't there. And it just, the game is vastly different than it was even 6 months ago. I mean, the Metro is there.
Right.
People complained about the Metro forever. Like, you put that in the demo, and the Metro's not available. Well, now you can ride the Metro, and it's not... When I think of patches, I generally think of small things that you may or may not notice. Cyberpunk is not that.
Right.
Like, every time they patch it, they do something major that I just really, I'm just shocked because it's
that's true now before, because all of their patches for the first 2 years was just fixing crap. Right? Like, that's the benefit and the downside of the story with Cyberpunk all rolled into one is that the brilliant stuff that they're doing right now, they should have done 2 years ago, because the game should have been at that point 2 years ago, because it would have released as broken as it was. But all that said, it is just a phenomenal game that has come into itself just 2 years later than it should have. So good on them for continuing to support it and making it better and creating a great game. Again, it's a great world from the very beginning, but such a broken game when it released. They have put the effort in to fix it. And now, again, still is buggy. I even ran into a bug when I fired it up this morning for 10 minutes with V being in a weird place, like sitting on a couch, like awkwardly, like halfway on the couch, halfway off. I'm like, why are those bugs still? But it is. It's just what Cyberpunk is. And so you got to know that going in. You're just going to run into some of that stuff. Like, it's just going to, you're going to have pop in. You're going to have cars like randomly appear once in a while. Like, there's just stuff like that that's probably always going to happen with Cyberpunk. And that's okay. Like, at this point, it's kind of part of the charm because it's not broken to the point that you can't play it. When it was broken to the point that you couldn't play it, it wasn't charming. It was just an issue. Now it's just kind of like, oh yeah, that's funny. A little glitchy thing here and there.
And can I be honest and say, if you put more than 15 minutes in it, you get sucked in and you kind of don't notice that
stuff. Yeah, for sure. Like you, like, you notice it, but it doesn't matter. Like you, like, can't miss it, but like you go, oh yeah, that's fine. Cause the world is so phenomenally cool. Like, I don't care.
I had a thing happen to me out towards the Badlands where I rolled up on a gas station and it was one of those PD missions that I love. And it's like, take these people out. And they're just out from the gas station. So I take them all out and it does the thing where it puts drops on the map. And, you know, like if there's a body or something, and they don't want you to miss a drop, and it tells you what level of drop it is. And so all of the red ones, which are tier 5, I try and pick up. I'm at this point, you know, I'm level 45 or whatever, and tier 5 stuff, like, I need that.
Sure.
I'm gonna break it. That, like, that's one thing that I have done that is probably different than most people that have played Cyberpunk. I have not sold a single thing since the first 5 hours of the game. If I get a weapon that I know I'm not going to use, I immediately break it down for the parts.
Right.
I have not sold anything in the last, you know, I don't know, 120 hours or something. So I'm crazy about those drops, especially the tier 5s. And I came up on one, and the map said it was there, but I couldn't get it to the guy that it was on. I couldn't get it to pop up. And I'm like, I know it's here. I can see it. But it won't let me pick it up. That kind of stuff really annoys me.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is the stuff that you notice. But what they did, and we've got to go to something else, but what they did that is mind-bending to me is that they have put stuff all over the map. And unless you look on Google, unless you look on YouTube, you're not going to stumble onto it.
Yeah.
There's a quest called Sex on Wheels. And I don't remember what made me look it up. I think it was that I started doing the races with Pan Am.
Right.
I hate her truck. And so I'm like, okay, I gotta get a better vehicle. Like, her truck is named The Beast. And that immediately made me laugh because it made me think of you back in the day.
Right.
The Bronco, the doors didn't open, no air conditioning, and the windows didn't work.
Yep.
And, like, I remember The Beast.
Yes.
And this thing is pretty much the equivalent, I think. And so I ran one of those races. Have you done a street race yet? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I ran one of those races with The Beast, and I was like, okay, I got second place, but this is not going to work. I got to get a better car. And so I went to Google, and I was like, where can I find a car that would work for these races? Because it's not really about the race. The point of the race is to take out as many people as you can and end up in first place. And I love Pan Am, but I wish they would let me sit in the passenger seat and do the shooting because she does nothing.
Yeah.
Like, she's just screaming at you and you're trying to drive and, like, it doesn't work. And so I'm like, I got to get a car with some weapons. And so I Google it and turns out there's one way up north part of the map in Watson where you start. There's a car just parked and it has weapons mounted on it. And it's in a warehouse in Watson that is around a bunch of other empty warehouses. And unless you just took an hour and a half and went through each one of those warehouses, you're not going to find this car, right? And it's a really nice vehicle. And so I'm like, okay, that's cool. I have it now. This is what I'm going to use. And I was like, cool, this is what I'm racing with. And I do one more looking on Google, and it turns out there are cars all over the map, just stashed. Like, hey, if you want this car, here's where it is. And that, to me, is really cool to just have stuff on the map that you just can stumble onto. You're not going to get all of it. We talked about this earlier. You're not going to find them all, but if you're really particularly looking for something, they've got what you need parked in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah. It's an interesting comparison, go back to Final Fantasy, of like a real true open world game, which Cyberpunk has that kind of full open world thing. And what Final Fantasy does, which is kind of open world-ish, but it's not really this full open world game, insofar as I feel like I could see everything on the map in Final Fantasy. Like,
right.
That's what I'm doing right now. It's just like going and doing all the little things on the map of the new area, Junon, that we're in now, of like finding the towers and the battle intel and all those little things, which I love. It's a great part of the game.
Right.
But I feel like I could see it all. And then I move on to the next point and I see it all, and I move on to the next point and I see it all. And Cyberpunk and other good open world games, Zelda is a great example of this too. Like, you're just not going to stumble upon everything. And again, that's, I want it to be that way. I want it to be something that I just can't possibly stumble upon everything unless I go and dig how to stumble upon everything, because I want there to be such a rich world that it feels like it's never ending.
But see, even if you go and dig, there's no way to stumble on it. Everything. I mean, because at this point, I'm going to Google with the idea that I need this for this particular thing, whether it's a gun or a car or whatever. And I'm looking that particular thing up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
I'm looking that particular thing up, and where do I find it? And in a lot of cases, I don't even know what I'm looking for. I'm just like, I need a car, I need a gun. And so there's no way, unless you get one of those interactive maps.
Right, of course. That's the thing.
That literally shows you where everything is. You're not going to be able to do that. And even if you have the interactive map, I'll just use Diablo 4 as an example. There's an interactive map for Diablo 4 that shows you where everything is, which I've tried to use, but you're still not going to find it all.
Sure.
I mean, you're just not. And I think that's wonderful.
Yes, that's a feature, not a bug. That is something that we want to exist because it makes the game something you got to go back to, and you always feel lost in that world and everything else. So
Yeah.
All that said, we will get into some show notes here, at least cover a little bit of this. Again, go by gaminguncensored.com to see the stuff that we don't get to. As I mentioned at the top, lots of rumory stuff here. So everything we're going to talk about, take with a little bit of a grain of salt, but some interesting thoughts here at least. So we'll start with Microsoft. We've talked about Microsoft on the past few shows, some of the pros and cons of where they are right now. And that's going to be a continuous theme here, but one of the things that Microsoft apparently is working on is a mid-generation refresh, new SKU, Pro Edition, whatever it is, of the Xbox Series X. And there are some now pictures out in the wild of what this may be, which is kind of cool in a couple of ways, I think. One is that it's diskless. And so right now, if you go get a Series X, you got to have a disk drive in it, which, again, kind of makes sense. I have a disk drive in my PlayStation 5. There has not been a single disc that has gone in it. Like, it just isn't a necessary thing anymore, as much as we're like, oh yeah, we want a disc. Okay, whatever. I would be more prone to go pick up a Series X at this point that doesn't have a disc drive if it was, you know, $50, $100 cheaper, whatever it is, which is, you know, the caveat here. If you're taking the disc drive out of it, the price has to come down as well.
So here's my thing with that. I agree with everything you just said. However, I don't have a Blu-ray player in my house. And our buddy Paul Laughswitz just had a birthday. What's up, buddy? He's officially very, very, very old.
Yes.
He's older than us.
Which is very old.
And he put on Facebook some of the gifts that he got for his birthday, and they were all Blu-ray movies, which I thought was wonderful. The Joker was one of them. There were several other classics in there, and I thought to myself, dude, I need a Blu-ray player. But at the same time, what you just said is, how often are you really going to use that? Which the answer is not that often.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the
unless
thing.
Unless you're that guy.
Unless you're that
unless
guy.
You're Paul.
Which there are that guys out there. And so unless you're that guy. But most of us aren't. Even if we think we might be, most of us aren't. And that was the thing with the PlayStation 5. The honest reason that we ended up with a PlayStation 5 with a disc drive in it was the one available. And we were going to buy whichever one we could get our hands on first. And that was the one we could get our hands on first. But with the Series X, you don't have that option. Of course, with the Series S, it's a different thing. But with the Series X, you don't. Now they're going to give that. And so theoretically, again, rumor mill here. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition. We'll also see if they actually do any kind of hardware updates, which may or may not happen. With Sony, that does look like it is happening. We haven't got the official announcement from Sony yet, but we've seen enough stuff leaked at this point that looks inevitable. That there will be a Pro Edition of the PS5 coming this holiday season. Is the target for it. And the big thing here, there's a list, so you can see this in the show notes, of kind of requirements for developers. They're going to have a like pro certification. And so like you get a PC, PS5 Pro Enhanced label on your game if it meets certain benchmarks to work on the new, you know, upgraded PlayStation 5. The biggest of which is going to be the ability to do both 4K and 60 frames per second simultaneously, which would be fantastic. That's right now we're always in this, do we do performance mode, do we do what's quality mode or whatever they call it? Do you want the higher resolution, do you want the higher frames per second? Ultimately we would like to get to the point that we're doing both, and that's okay, what the PS5 Pro theoretically does.
Can I say this though? I don't know that that's a reasonable expectation, because I have a 65-inch nice screen right next to me, because we said to ourselves, the next time you're here, we're going to fire something up like Cyberpunk and play it in 4K. Right now, I have it running at 2K resolution. I'm getting 76.5 frames a second at 2K. If I bump that sucker up to 4K, you're going down to about 40, and I have a really nice video card.
Right.
I don't know how realistic that is, especially in a console.
But you are doing that with everything else cranked to the max. Ray tracing on ultra ray, you know, all that stuff.
Because that's what Duff Bar.
But what I'm telling you is you could do 4K at 60 FPS if you wanted to, but you don't want to because you want every bell and whistle turned on as well. You could find games that you could run 4K at 60 FPS on your PC, because you should be able to do that on a PC at this point. That exists in the PC realm right now, that you can make that happen. Does it exist in the console realm really at this point that you can make that happen? And so this is getting the console up to that point. It's not going to be all the bells and whistles that you could do on a 4090, because it's a console. The console is still cheaper than that graphics card is, right? Like the whole thing is still less expensive than you're paying for that graphics card. And so it just expectations there be what they are. You're not going to get Cyberpunk running with everything maxed out at 60 FPS at 4K. But you could get it running at 60 FPS 4K with other adjustments.
I think it will if we're willing to put DLSS 3 in.
And that's the other mode. Right.
And like right now I have it set on balanced, and so it's a balance of performance and
right. And
video and all that.
That's the other caveat that we've talked about a lot recently, is just the optimization side of things. That the hardware is going to be improved, obviously. That's a part of it. But the optimization is also going to be improved, which pushes those things that can make that possible. you can do, I mean, we have to at some point. We're going to be pushing it past that soon. We're going to want to do 8K and 120 frames per second in 5 years or whatever it is. You know, like, that's the nature of progression. But at some point, we got to get to the point that we're doing 4K, 60 frames per second on a console. Theoretically, this will be that point. Now, again, it's also going to take optimization on the developer side. Not every game is going to be, quote, PS5 Pro or whatever, enhanced, certified, because it's going to take work to make that happen. And so you'll have to put that work in. But it will theoretically be possible, feasible. We'll see how many games actually take advantage of it.
I'm curious, when you get here and we crank up the OSS, put it on performance or whatever, how many FPS we get in performance mode at 4K, and whether or not we can tell a difference on the screen.
For sure. Because
obviously, it's going to be upscaled. Obviously, right. they're doing some things, and we're going to... there's going to be some trade-off, but I told you, and I hate to admit this, but the second time I've admitted it on the show, I don't know that if I put it in performance mode right now, that I can see the difference on this really nice monitor that I've got.
For sure.
Like, it's a mental... some mental thing. Like, I want it to look as good as it can possibly look, but I'm not one of those snobs that can be like, you know, look at it and go, yeah, this is missing, that's missing. Like, I'm just not that observant. I hate to admit that.
Right.
But I'm not that guy that can look at content on a 4K screen and go, yep, that's very obviously 1080 and this is 4K. Like, yeah, apparently there are some tells and some ways that you can know. I don't know what those are.
Of course. Yeah. But so, like, again, I just want games to be pretty. That's the, like, can we make it pretty? And that's like in Final Fantasy, if I toggle between performance mode and quality mode, I can tell difference around the edges. But yes. It's because I'm A-Bing it that I'm seeing the difference between one and the other. If you just put one in front of me, I couldn't tell you. Until you give me the controller in my hand and I play it, and then I could go, oh, that's 30 frames per second versus 60 frames per second, which is the reason that performance mode is so much more important to me at this point than quality mode is, because I could feel that difference immediately. I can't see the difference immediately if I don't know that the difference is there or what the difference is I'm looking for, which is an interesting point. Again, ideally, we could get to the point that there's not even an option. You just get the best of both worlds, which is what we're working toward, but... who knows if we'll ever get there? Because again, it's just going to be scaling up to the next one of like, okay, you get 60 frames per second, but can we do that at 8K instead of 4K and so on and so forth. So we'll see, you know, the future of technology and all that stuff.
Can okay, we got to move. But like, I saw a thing and I didn't watch the video, but my favorite TV guy that I told you guys last time, Caleb Dennison, Digital Trends, he had a video about 8K and how, you know, it's still a thing and there's people out there that want it. And I'm looking at what I've got going, okay, we don't even have regular content in 4K. Like, I'm not paying for the top tier of Netflix because 80% of what's on Netflix is not 4K.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give Netflix another $5 a month just so I can get three or four things that are in 4K. Like, that's where we're at. There's not enough 4K content right now to even really justify a 4K screen.
For sure.
And Chad's listening and he's screaming at me, but no, dude, there's not.
Yeah.
There's not.
And that's how it works. I mean, that's the progression. Eventually there will be. We're not there yet. But I would argue for gaming, there's more of a rationale. But still, there's that limitation on if you're playing on a console of sacrificing frame rate. So maybe not quite yet, but pretty soon. And, you know, you kind of work around it. So going back to Microsoft really quick, though, one thing that's not a rumor and is a really big deal that I know you'll be excited about, I'm excited about, is that the Xbox Cloud Gaming, which you can get with... Game Pass on your PC. You can access all the cloud gaming titles on there. I have been playing MLB The Show just a little bit. Fired that up. Has, up until this point, been controller only. They are rolling out keyboard and mouse support for cloud gaming on Game Pass, which is very, very cool. This is only for a select number of titles right now. They are adding it as they go, but ones that make sense, like Halo, that you can get keyboard and mouse support in Halo, like Age of Empires, which would be a very difficult game, I would think, to play with a controller, but you can now play Age of Empires 2 with mouse and keyboard on the cloud, so without having to download it and play it locally, which, you know, if you've got the system to play it locally, by all means, play it locally. But if you've got the internet connection and not the system, or even just don't want to download a game or don't have access to download something like MLB The Show, you can't download. The only option you have on Game Pass on PC is to play it via the cloud. Now, that's not one you play mouse and keyboard, but there are other games like that that will be available with mouse and keyboard that are on the cloud, which is very, very cool. So good on them for finally getting there. It took long enough, but that's a big deal.
It's about weeping time.
Right.
I just have to say, like, seriously. That needed to be a thing like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. For sure. And they have not viewed it very obviously as a necessity on PC, that it felt like it was like, oh yeah, this is just a way to play console games on your PC, which of course you want to play with a controller. Like, it feels like they're finally grasping the idea that cloud gaming is a PC thing that works for PC games, which you want to play with mouse and keyboard. So good thing there. So another rumor, now bouncing back to Sony. I didn't intend to bounce back and forth, but just kind of how it's working out. Sony rumor mill here is working on a holographic display for its consoles, which immediately made me think.
No!
Which immediately made me think of the 3DS, which is a fabulous console that I'm sad that technology isn't still implemented. I get why it's not. It's incredibly expensive and clunky technology to try to put it into like a Switch or something like that. But the 3DS as a device is just the coolest like little gaming device with the 3D stuff. Like, it's just really fun and random. How you do that on a larger scale with like a PlayStation, and the patent goes into like interactive elements with it, and so like actually being able to touch and manipulate this holographic world that you're looking at could be super cool. Like, imagine playing, you know, like an RTS or a sim game or something like that, where you could actually touch and not physically touch, but reach in and manipulate the world with your hands and with a holographic display. Super cool idea that I think we'll have some sense of someday, probably with more along the lines of something like the Vision Pro that we talked about on the last show.
Well, yeah,
that's going to be the practical way that you do it. Holographic display doesn't seem like the practical way that you do it, but the ideas that are behind it are very, very cool.
Okay, and I'll just mention what I mentioned on the last show. Some of us has serious vision issues, right? The reason I feel like the Apple Vision Pro would work for me is because my eyes are vastly, vastly, vastly different than yours or anybody else's. And that it's set up for an individual is a big deal. And something like this just makes me cringe, because unless you have the individual setup, like, how does it work?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that you could realistically execute this well.
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, I don't know. You got to do it. We got to see what it is. It's not something that I could... If Sony can't get their VR system to catch on in a big way, which we also talked about on the last show of them not being able to do that very clearly, I don't know how you get a holographic display to catch on in any major way. But as a proof of concept, as a novelty item, as that kind of stuff, it's fascinating. It has all kinds of potential. But again, for me, that potential manifests in the augmented reality realm. I don't see where a holographic display gives you anything more beneficial. And I could be missing something very obvious with that, but it just seems like... Great on them for like experimenting with tech, but I sure hope Sony's not putting a whole lot of manpower and resources into this.
Can we talk about conspiracy theories for a second?
Of course.
Because I mean, I you know, every the world's crazy with AI now. AI is everywhere. I mean, for crying out loud, it's in Windows now. Like, right. I get a notice.
Chrome was bothering me about it this morning.
Like, try Microsoft Copilot, and I've played with every AI system out there, and finally, I'm like, nah, I'm kind of done, because none of them are great, and they've still got a long way to go, and like, Skynet, and all that jazz, and like, I just, I'm kind of like, I don't need it everywhere, but the point I was going to make was, I said something about AI to somebody, and the person I was talking to said, you know, AI's been running the world for a while, right? And I was like, well, I don't know if I buy that. And he's like, think about it. He's like, have you ever heard the idea that the military has tech that's 50 years advanced to what we see? And so if we're seeing AI now, like, there's some really serious AI out there that people are using that is not the, you know, the everyday public. And there's probably a whole lot of truth to that. And so I have to say, when we're talking about a holographic display, I'm sure the military has one. I'm sure Elon Musk has one. I'm sure that tech has been out for a while and it's working, and it's now they're trying to trickle it down to the average Joe Blow consumer. I can see where they're trying to go. But if you take the military example with AI, the AI that they have at this point, well, I'm extrapolating, but the AI that they probably have at this point really, really, really works well. And what we are seeing as normal humans right now is just like the cusp of that, right? So there's probably, like, Gabe Newell probably has a holographic display set up in his office at Valve. And in that case, I'm like, can I see that, please?
Can I counterpoint all of this?
Okay, yeah,
because I am the opposite on this view of conspiracy world in a lot of ways.
Well, I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying.
But let me tell you why I'm the opposite of the at least the argument that you're presenting with why that would be or the potential of that is that I know human beings, and unless there's an argument to say that there's a whole group of human beings that are just different than all the human beings that we interact with on a regular basis, which may be true, but I have an even harder time believing. Human beings suck at keeping secrets. And when you're talking about, of course, like, I'm not going to argue that the military has stuff we don't know about, but to the scale of, you know, something that massive or whatever, something that's 50 years ahead of where we are now, like, somebody's talking about it, you know, like, you just can't, like, the idea that Elon Musk has, like, this crazy stuff going, like, Elon Musk is not a person that keeps a secret. He would be out there all the time with stuff about, like, that kind of stuff, or Gabe Newell or whoever. Like, I don't think that the people that are living up above us, which are, granted, definitely those people living up above us, have any access to a crazy world different than what we do, because we would know about it. Because there are just too many people that would have to keep that a secret. That's what, like, all so, the, like, okay, 9/11 conspiracy theories and that kind of stuff. Like, just too many people involved to keep it a secret. I can hear people are like, they don't keep it a secret. Good stuff gets, like, okay, whatever. Like, the arguments there are what they are. But, like, that's just my kind of base level of, like, you have to think a lot more about people than what I know to be true about people to be able to follow that thread all the way through.
So let me counterpoint your counterpoint. you're telling me that you don't think, because this is something that I honestly believe, but you're telling me that you don't think there's a spaceship or four parked somewhere on this planet in a hangar somewhere that you know, the government's been working with for a while.
I believe that there is tech that is more advanced than what we are commercially privy to. I don't think it's like light speed travel or like, you know, whatever it is. Like, I think that there is an incremental bit of technology above what we are familiar with in everyday life that exists in a world right now, because there has to be, because progress is moving forward. And so that stuff happens. I don't think there's like a spaceship somewhere parked on this planet that's capable of intergalactic travel.
This is really interesting. So I like what you just said. Now what I'm really curious about is if we just woke the internet up. So if you agree with or disagree with either one of us, I would like to know.
For sure.
This is why we have a Facebook page. This is why we have Twitter. Because I'm thinking there's probably a spaceship park somewhere that does all of that stuff. And that, like, but that's the only example that I can give you. Like, because I honestly think there's probably some people from somewhere out there walking around a military base at this point. I'm just thinking fantastically because, you know, that makes sense to me. I don't know if it's actually happened or not, but I'm in my mind, like, it makes sense.
Sure.
And so I would like to know if you disagree with either one of us, post somewhere and let us know why.
And if that this is true, that there are people out there with more advanced tech, I sure hope it's not just a holographic display. I hope it's something more fun than that.
Right.
I mean, it's cool, like, for me, because I'm like Joe Blow, like you said, and that like is a fascinating little thing, but just really practically, this seems like it's...
Can we get some anti-grab for crying out loud?
Right. Like,
that's cooler than a holographic display. Get some anti-gravity.
Yes, for sure. One last thing, we'll wrap up with this. So there are stories at the show notes to go check out. But I want to throw this in here really quick because I love it so much. So this is, and I'm going to butcher names here, so I apologize, but Sven Vinke, who is the, first of all, not the proper pronunciation of his name, but who is the head developer for Baldur's Gate 3 at Larian, did an interview that's just great. I encourage you to go find it, read through it. I don't know if it's recorded somewhere. That would help me to actually watch it and hear it so I'd know how to pronounce his name. That all said, this is in the context of all the layoffs that we've seen happening in the game industry recently. I just want to read you what he said because I love it. He said, quote, "I see companies like with the current layoffs. When I hear who's being fired, I say, what? That doesn't make any sense, because that person is like a beacon of knowledge within that company. And it shows, and it's what shows that disconnect I was telling you about, because I know it's being looked at in an Excel file, right? And that person is making a decision with that Excel file. That person does not understand what they just lost. And it's going to cost them way more long-term. They just don't realize it yet, but it will cost them a lot." He goes on to say, "I'll give you an example. I heard of a group of technical artists being fired. I can tell you, I'm a developer. If you fire your technical artists, you're an idiot," he says, "because they define your entire pipeline, which is going to define your cost of your assets. They can define so many things, and they know your games, especially the senior ones. It really doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we're hiring them to come work for us," which I just, that to me, you know, and again, this is not the head guy of making the business decisions, but this is a higher up guy at Larian, which is not the biggest game company in the world, but did put out one of the biggest games in the world this past year, saying, "This is dumb to be firing these people that have this institutional knowledge. And hey, by the way, we want to hire as many of them as we can because they bring that with them." And it's just so good to hear somebody in the industry, again, not a surprise to us, but to vocalize that in that way and call the other side idiots, just saying straight up, they're idiots for firing these people that are so valuable and they just don't see it because they're looking at numbers on a spreadsheet.
Well, to go back to Cyberpunk for a second, the United States in general, I think we can all agree, is very is very corpo in general.
Yes.
There's a lot of corpos hanging around in big glass buildings and making decisions about things that they don't understand. Like, my brother owns multiple businesses. I know this to be true because, you know, when you own multiple businesses, you're making decisions about stuff that you may not necessarily know, and you're just using the best information that you have to make those decisions. And in a lot of cases, that information is maybe not that good. So he's totally 100% right. That is really cool. I'm glad somebody said it, and I'm glad somebody is hiring those people.
Yes.
And I really hope that if those people are getting hired, they're getting paid to work on Baldur's Gate 4, which Larian says is not happening.
I know.
I don't buy that for a second.
Me neither.
You just had the biggest game on the planet. Don't tell me you're not working on the next one.
Yep, for sure.
So
yeah. Agree 100% there. So really quickly, releases, not a whole bunch of big releases here recently. Hi-Fi Rush is now on PlayStation 5. So we talked about that with the shift of some Microsoft games coming to the PlayStation. That's a big one. MLB The Show is out, has an 80 currently on Metacritic. It's fine. It's not a big update, but it's fine. If you like MLB The Show, it's one of those games that I play a little bit every year. Because of Game Pass,
around
I don't have to buy it.
This time of year.
Right. We got opening day. We've got MLB The Show coming out. So there you go. Trying to think anything. I mean, really good. The other one I was going to mention is Princess Peach Showtime on the Switch is also out now. 74. A little lower than you kind of anticipate from a Nintendo game. It's not like it's a marquee Nintendo game, but 74 is really low for a Nintendo title. At least something like that I would picture like mid-80s Metacritic-wise. And so, for what it's worth. It is one of those games I still want to just put in front of Genevieve and let her go to town.
I was going to say, regardless of what the score is, you know she's yes. going to love it.
Yes,
so,
for sure. Which is all that matters. At the end of the day, who cares what a game score is if it's fun and people like it. If it's hitting the target audience, fantastic.
Yep, absolutely. I have to be totally and completely honest. There are so many games out there right now, we cannot possibly play them all. I keep seeing a commercial for The Last of Us 2 remastered, and I'm thinking to myself, we have got to go back to that. We have to play The Last of Us 2. There's so much stuff that we can't play. So as we wrap up, I want to mention to all of you out there, I want to remind you that we know you're playing stuff that we are not playing. And that's exactly why we have a voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Tell us what you've been playing. Tell us why you've been playing and why we should drop everything that we're playing to play what you're playing.
Yes.
That's what we want, because there's entirely too much stuff for us to play.
Yes. To that point, just really briefly here, I got to mention this because we've heard it from two different people now that are part of this community. Our boy Logan posted this on Facebook a few weeks back. And then Duff texted us early this morning, our time. Perfectly reasonable time, Hawaiian time. Early this morning, our time. About this game called Balatro? I don't know how you say it, but it's like this deck building poker game that is apparently very good. Again, hearing it from multiple sources now, and is coming to mobile, and just looks like my thing 100%. So I'm pretty pumped to get this.
It is two things on that. First, it's totally your thing. Secondly, it was really, really, really early when he texted that this morning. And sadly, we were both up.
Right. For different reasons, but yes.
Yeah, that's big. At this point, we're just getting old and we're up and I can't sleep to save my life. I do not understand it, but you have a reason. So at least I'll give you credit on that.
Yeah.
But it blew my mind that he texted and we were both up.
Yes. But apparently it's something we got to check out. So we'll check that out and come with an update maybe on the next show, because apparently it's very good.
Okay, folks, you know where the Facebook page is. You know where the Twitter is. Still can't call it X. Elon, you got to work on that.
Yeah, it's still true.
It's very awkward. I like you, dude, but you got to work on that. Let's see. Still don't have an Instagram, so if anybody wants to help us set up Instagram, please let us know, because we've been told we need an Instagram. What else, sir? Is there anything else?
I think that pretty well covers it.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.